Today I'm actually looking at this passage in Acts 3:6. Okay? And I was wondering if there would be a wonderful reader who would spare us the French accent as this chapter would be read out. Who would like to volunteer to read loud and clear this passage for us? Is there any volunteer? Okay, please, Christine, go for it. Acts 3, verse 6. It's as well here.
Verse 6, is it?
No. From the beginning to 10. 3 to the beginning to 10. It starts by 1 day, Peter.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Thank you. Sorry.
Super.
Need to get that out here.
Go for it, Christine.
Amen.
We'll get there. Here, you passed it. Yeah. You passed it.
I should have told somebody else to read
it. Very good. That's fine. Three. Right.
Okay. 1 to 10, did you say?
Yes.
Okay. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day it was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so you could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk."
Amen.
And Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did this, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened.
Amen.
He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astonished.
Amen.
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 Wow. What a story we have got there, right? You know, the story of a man actually in great need.
Hallelujah.
In great need. Can you imagine the horror of the life that this man has? That basically, day after day, he's getting carried to the gate, and the only option he has is actually beg for money so he could survive. So that's all he does all day. He waits for being carried, and then he gets the little money that he can. And then the very well-known answer to Peter, "Look at us, pay attention. Silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus. Get up and walk."
Amen.
You know, this very famous passage in that sense. And what I would like to speak to them, and obviously we're carrying on our series about big little people, but what I would like to focus on is we are all surrounded by people with great needs.
Amen.
All
Amen.
Of us. And we have a role to play in bringing the kingdom of heaven around us and approaching people and at least listen to them, you know?
Amen.
And I think we can all agree that in this area, Jesus is our model, right?
Amen.
Because
Amen.
Peter did basically what Jesus was doing. So Peter, Jesus was the model, okay? So the ultimate model in that is Jesus. So when you look at Jesus, he stopped for the one. You know, he stopped for the one. He served people in their needs. He had compassion for people. He had meals with broken people. He healed people, whether the people choose to follow him or not. He healed them. Okay? Nothing in his love was conditional. Unconditional love for all people.
Amen.
So I think we follow this example of Jesus by keeping a soft heart towards people.
That's right.
You know, when we look at this story, we don't want to be like maybe some of the people who were there at the gate say, oh, is that beggar again? Standing at the gate and, oh my gosh, that's not a pretty sight. What is it going to do for tourism? Should we put some spike at the gate so the lame cannot sit on the steps? You know what I mean? We keep a soft heart. You see, when the people struggle, Jesus didn't kick them down further the curb. You know? Even when they're responsible for their own mess, he's not done that. You know? His approach wouldn't have been to the lame guy. He wouldn't have gone, hey, you lame, okay, you're missing a leg, but maybe you could do a seated job. That was not his approach, you know? That wouldn't have been the approach. Actually, in John 9, there's a story of a man who was born blind, okay? And the disciples are really, really quick to come in. They run to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, is this man blind because of his own sin or because of his parents' sin? And Jesus is like, shut down the conversation. And he goes, no, hold on. It's about my work being displayed. It's about my glory now being displayed because I'm going to heal him. So he shut down the conversation. Okay? So I would say it's fair to say that Jesus is not in the shame blame game. He's not in the shame blame game at all. Even if he told people to repent. Okay? But first he connected to them. Okay? He cared about the people's need because he loves them.
Amen.
You know from loving your family, loving your children, loving your spouse, loving people around you, that when we deeply love people, what we want is solutions. We don't want them to suffer, right?
Yes. Amen.
Okay? So, and you could see here Jesus, time after time, caring even for the physical human needs of people. Even if ultimately Jesus knew very well that their profound needs were spiritual, he knew that. And actually he preached it. Okay? But often, and you could read it would be like a whole preaching series, right? Often he healed, he delivers before actually he preached.
Amen.
You know? So the miracle becomes the demonstration of God's power. The miracle becomes a demonstration of God's power and said, oh, look, now go and sin no more. You have encountered him, now go and sin no more. So he listened and engaged with their needs before even telling them, repent and sin no more.
Amen.
Okay? Okay, let's be honest. In this room, who would have followed Jesus if we had not realized one day for ourselves that we were in great need? Who? I mean, I followed Jesus because I realized I had great needs and I needed him.
Amen.
And I said, come and save me because X, Y, Z. Come and fill this emptiness. Come and take away this depression. Come and give me purpose. Come and take away the guilt I carry because I'm not doing very well in some areas, etc. Are we, yeah? Who can relate to that?
Amen.
Come on, wave at me.
Amen.
Yes. We can all relate to that, okay? Now, when facing great needs, we are actually big little people. That's where we are in the series, we are big little people. When we face those great needs around us, we are big little people. We need to see that our human resources are completely limited.
Yes.
What we can do in our strength is limited.
Yes.
However, in Christ Jesus,
yes.
Something happened in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
In Christ Jesus, we are empowered by Jesus' authority. Right. Not only that, but we have access to resources we don't have access without him.
Yes.
We have resources in God that are far greater than what we can access on a human level. So there's quite a lot of profound things that we can find in the stories.
Yes.
So let's look at a little bit closer. Have you noticed Peter does not dwell and stay on the human visible reality in the story? He doesn't dwell on the what he can see. Because when the man goes, yeah, please give me money, what he says is, you know, he doesn't stay on the level of, oh, look, man, can you not see? I'm not well off. I don't have silvers and gold. He doesn't stay on that concrete reality. He could have said, poor fisherman here. And you're asking me silver and gold. I mean, you know, I don't have it. He didn't stay on that level, but he focused on what he has in the name of Jesus.
Beautiful. Amen.
And what he has in the name of Jesus is not a visible human reality, it's a spiritual reality.
Amen.
Yes? So what he has in Jesus' name is a spirituality, because he knows that in Christ, there is power. It's an invisible reality. So he's not staying on, okay, what I have, what I don't have,
Amen.
Okay, can't give you, can give you. No, he said, no, hold on. What I have is spiritually
Hallelujah.
In Jesus
Hallelujah.
Is greater. Now, the other thing is, when he does that, which I find really interesting, he does not pump himself up, but he points to Jesus.
Amen.
He doesn't go, I am now son of the mighty King Jesus. Let me heal you. What he does is, he said, look at me. I don't have silver and gold. I'm not impressive, but I do know what I have. And what I have is better. What I have is Jesus. Let me give Jesus.
Mm. Amen.
That's effectively what he's doing. It's pointing to Jesus. It's really interesting. Another thing he's not doing, which is, I think, very relevant for us in the West, he doesn't say, I have not personally got silver and gold, but Jesus has. So here is a pot of gold. And go and be forever self-reliant on your pot of gold. He doesn't do that neither. I'm not saying we shouldn't pray for resources. This is not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, the man asks for money, and he doesn't say, here is a pot of gold in the name of Jesus.
Mm.
He doesn't say that.
No.
Because you see, he's discerning what is the real need.
Amen.
Because the man who was lame asked for his most basic need, which is survival.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes? He asked for his basic, the survival. Mm. The thing he was immediately thinking of.
Mm.
However, Peter discerned the essential need, which was healing.
Healing.
Amen.
Because you see, that's how Jesus is. He does not put a band-aid on a burst tire.
Amen.
He doesn't say, okay, here is the little thing. He changes the whole tire. He gives you a new one.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
So here, the issue is, yes, you could have made this man rich, but all the other needs of this man would not have been taken care of, because he would still have been socially, you know, crippled, and he would not have been able to do X, Y, Z. So it touches at his most essential needs right now in front
Amen.
Of us. Yeah? So where does it leave us as a church? Okay? Where does it leave us as a church? Well, I have a lot of questions about it. I was thinking about it. I was praying about it, because I'm thinking, oh, there's so much to learn from this story. One question I have in my head a lot is, what would have happened if Peter and John thought they could take care of this man by their own effort and by their own means? What would have happened? Because they could have gone, okay, well, don't have silver here,
But you know, tomorrow I'm coming, I'm going to look in my saving, maybe there's a couple of coins. Oh, hold on, let me organize a meeting. Maybe we could, with the community of Christian, maybe we could do something where we could organize a bit of a social action there to take care of you. Listen, I want to say right away, this is not per se wrong. This is not wrong because remember, in other parts of the Bible, Jesus said, look after the poor.
Amen.
So this is not wrong. Sometimes we do need to do that, to look after the poor, you know. But in this particular occasion, that solution of organizing, you know, finance for him would have fallen short from God's solution. Can you see that? It would have fallen short from. So this man is a big beggar because he's lame. And in God's kingdom, everything can be made new. So the first thing I'm thinking in the community of Christian, we need to think bigger. Bigger than what we can do in our own strength and in our own means.
Amen.
Okay, it is still important. You know, the Bible does say, look after the widow and the orphan and the poor and the immigrant among you. You look after these people. I think that's what God is, the heart of God.
Amen.
But if you just do that in your own means, you fall short from the glory of God, which God's solution, kingdom solution, when those solutions where heaven breaks,
amen,
you know, and come on earth and changes something.
Amen.
Okay? So when I was preparing, I was thinking, oh, you know, this story, what I have, I give you in the name of Jesus, walk. It's big. You know, if I stop the preach there and you come and your application is, okay, what I have, let's look at what I have. You know, this is not it. This is not the story. This is not a story like the story of the multiplication of the two loaves of bread and the five fish. This is not the same application. You know, in that story, it's a little bit like, oh, Jesus is about to do a miracle. Give me your little bit, okay? And this little boy comes and says, oh, here is my two fish and, you know, no, two loaves and two, and, you know. Well, I mean, it was five. Anyway, you understood.
Mm-hmm.
This story is not about, please bring your little bits and see Jesus do the miracle.
Amen.
It's not about that. Although that sort of thing is essential again. But it's more than that. Because fundamentally, when you are in Peter's shoes there, and you say to that man, I do not have silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus, and get up and walk. That's got nothing to do about who you are and what you've got in your pocket. Nothing. It's not about whether you're talented or not talented. It's not about your class. It's not about whether you're rich or poor. It's about three things. The first thing is, do we care enough about the person next to us? Do we have compassion? Do we care enough about the other's needs? Do we care enough to stop? You know, by the way, this was quite an ordinary day, you know, because it's just happened that day. Maybe Pete has passed that beggar two or three times and he didn't really click. Because it says, the way the story says, is an ordinary day.
Sure.
Like, it looks like they were regularly going to the temple at that time. But on that day, on that day, Peter stopped and cared. And he had compassion.
Amen.
Yeah. Secondly, it's about, this story is about our confidence, your confidence in who you are in Christ Jesus.
Yes. Amen.
And the one who can, the one who is faithful. You know? The one who is faithful. So he cares enough to stop. He has compassion. Then he's confident in who he is in Christ.
Amen.
His faith is in Christ. It's the faith of Christ, really, who's going to actually make the miracle. So that's the second thing. And the third You know, it's really interesting to say, what I have, I give to you.
Hallelujah.
We have to be willing, we have to have some willingness to give it away. I mean, I'm guilty of that. How many Christians you know have received a lot from Jesus? But sometimes we huddle and we love being together and singing songs and worship,
yes,
and because we feel good in it.
Yes.
But are we willing to give it away?
Beautiful.
That's another question.
Beautiful.
So whatever our circumstances, rich, poor, educated, not educated, whether you're socially abled or not, and even if you're an awkward person, it doesn't matter, you know, who are you in Christ?
Yes.
Do you rest in his faithfulness? Do you have the confidence that you have access to heaven's resources and gifts from God that you can bring to people? Because ultimately, we are representing the King and his mandate. Unconditional love, hope of new life, and restoration for everything that is broken in this world. Everything. That's why it's not just about, okay, I'm going to preach the gospel and the people are going to be saved. I mean, we want that, honestly.
Yeah.
Bottom line, we want that.
Yeah.
Like we said, the spiritual bottom line is really important. But as well, there's restoration for the people who are sick. There's restoration for the people who are depressed. Where there's no peace, the peace come. When there's no joy, joy can come. There's restoration for broken families. There's restoration for everything in Jesus' kingdom. So I just want to ask a few questions, really, that I'm asking myself very deeply as well at the same time. Okay. I think those things start by, first and foremost, having this thought of, you know, in what I have already and who I am, have I surrendered everything to the Lordship of Jesus? Can I really say that I have been found in him, that he is my portion, that I belong to him? Because that's, you see, that's the platform in which the other thing can develop. Say, have I surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus? Because if we don't start there, we don't realize that we have nothing, but in him we have everything. If we don't, you know, we always got to try to solve things by our human thinking or our human resources. Because humanly speaking, we have some stuff, right? So if we not surrendered everything to the Lordship of Jesus, we will always try to first fix things in our own strength and with the things we have. But if you are looking for more, if you are looking for more, you've got to depart from that and you have to say, Jesus, whoever I am, all the talent, the abilities, even the resources I have, I'll give them to you. You are the Lord of my life, but I am looking for you to move powerfully through me.
Yes.
We become the vessel. It's through. Yeah. And the second question is, do we understand our identity in Christ and the calling that is attached to that?
Hallelujah.
Because, please come and ask questions. Come. If there's things you understand, please come. Always ask. Come and ask questions. Try to find in the Bible. We could point you out of which passages to read. Who you are in Christ. What have you got in Christ?
Amen.
Yeah. Now, something that I find interesting in this story is it's actually a story which is post-Pentecost.
Mm.
You see, and I do think that with Holy Spirit, a boldness comes. The boldness of sharing the gospel come.
Hallelujah.
With Holy Spirit, the discernment of where the people are at come.
Yes.
The ability of understanding the timing with people.
Yes.
And sometimes words from God for the people, so that something opens up. All of it come with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
So I think this is very important that our preoccupation, when we are saved, right? And we have given our life to Jesus and we are surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus. Our next preoccupation is to walk in the Spirit, walk by the Spirit of God, to understand what that means and walk from the overflow, not by our own strength. Like, so we could say, when he says, what I have, I give to you, there's an overflow. You know, It's not like he's, I'm going to strive and now it's going to happen, you know, and now, you know, no. It's working from an overflow. It's walking with God. There's an overflow from the Holy Spirit. So I think as a church, we need to nurture that. And as people, we need to nurture that, our relationship with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Okay? And be attentive and always ask God, what do you want to do there? What do you want to do there? Okay? Can I now leave you with a few practical pointers? Can I do that?
Yes.
Okay. Honestly, it's not arrogance. I'm doing this for myself, okay? Because obviously, if you read the story, you're thinking, oh, flipping neck, are you saying, Rachel, that the next time I see somebody who is crippled in Woolwich, I just go, and when I grab the hand and I push them up, and you might think, you know, it could happen, but how do you go from there to there?
Yes.
That's the question always,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, so let's look at how to go from there to there, you know?
Beautiful.
Okay. Did I go back?
Yes.
Here we go. Okay, so I call this making a start. How about if this week, the first thing you do is slow down and pay attention to the people around you.
Beautiful.
Just do, start doing that. Because that's what he did. He slowed down on that day, he noticed the beggar. So even before you engaged, okay? Because we're not like, you know, we're not functioning like distributor machine. It's not like, oh, here we go, I'm gonna do my good deed. I'm gonna go down and then I'm gonna pray, here it is, £5, oh, amen, I'm such a good Christian. This is not about that. It's about the people and their need.
Amen.
So what about if we just slow down and first pay attention of the people around us? Okay? It could be a person at work, you know this person is depressed. Okay? It could be a neighbor, you know the neighbor, you notice they're not very well or they have difficulties of some sort. It could be a person in the street that you're seeing every single day, okay? And the Holy Spirit is to highlight them to you. First of all, slow down, pay attention, and ask God to show you His heart for them.
Amen.
Ask God, how do you see this person? Start to speak to me about this person, okay? That's just... That's the softening of our hearts.
Mm.
That's the number one. Let's develop some compassion, that we actually care.
Mm.
We do things out of love. And then I would say, in your prayer time, start to engage with the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, can you show me how I can make a difference in that person's life?
Mm.
Holy Spirit, just make something happen that creates an opening.
Mm.
It could be, and you will see, it will happen. I can guarantee, like that the person at work might just suddenly say something.
Mm.
And they, in that saying something, they made themselves vulnerable and they opened up to you.
Amen.
Therefore, you are positioned in a way where you can love them well. Yeah? So don't try in your own strength, okay? Quickly get a fix in my own strength, but actually try to say, God, you said in your word to ask for wisdom and you will give it. You say in the word that we can ask for gifts and you will give them. So words of knowledge, encouragement,
yes,
gifts of faith for particular situation and people, you can pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give you. He's faithful. He will give you discernment. Okay? Now, my number three is, this is still not wrong to start by small acts of kindness, okay? It's not wrong to start small by small things, small gestures that show your care, that you love them. And you must start by small things. You know, you might start by you know someone at work, they love croissant in the morning, and one day you're buying one for yourself, you buy one for them. And you say, oh, I've noticed you love croissant. Here. Because that's just, oh, I care for you, that, you know, and then I still pray for you, and you waited for this opening, you know? So small gesture, small act of kindness is not wrong. Okay? But it's in the picture we believe for more. We believe that God can do something. Now, we're all gonna grow in confidence of who we are in Christ and practice that confidence. One of the things we can do is practice on each other this confidence in Christ. Okay? So for example, team just before just had some declaration about healing, and you know, we can do that over each other anytime. Okay? At the end of this service, if somebody has an issue or a problem, you can grab anyone in this place and say, please pray for me. And let's exert our faith. And you know you cannot answer, but God can. So you have the same attitude in your heart. You say, you know, for example, a very simple thing is, do you know we've not been asked to pray Jesus so he would heal the sick, but that we are actually said to heal the sick ourselves. Do you know that? So somebody comes and say, well, I've got a splitting headache. Okay? Can you pray for healing? And so you could go two ways. You could go, I'm not saying it won't work, because Jesus is so good. Sometimes we pray so wrongly and still happen, right?
Amen.
So, but you could go, oh, Jesus, thank you. You are so good. You are the great healer. I believe you are the healer. Oh, Jesus, I ask you to come now and heal this person. Yeah? You can go like that. Jesus will heal. But actually, you are absolutely have the right and the authority of Jesus to say, headache, go in the name of Jesus. Because you've been asked to heal the sick. So we grow in confidence. The first time you go to pray for the sick, it might sound more like my first prayer. Oh, Jesus, because you're building yourself up, right? So you say, oh, Jesus, you are the great doctor. I know I've done it. Oh, Jesus. And I still do it. I mean, you know, when somebody comes and say, I've got cancer, you know, you're like, oh, okay, great. You know, you might not go, cancer, go in the name of Jesus. You need a build up. You say, wow. But you need to remember, it's not about even your faith. It's about Jesus Christ's faithfulness. So you build up muscle and say, yeah, I'm going to pray. I'm going to take action and see Jesus move from me. Okay? But in that, we're going to grow. We're going to grow. It's a process. Okay? Maybe the first time, the person is not healed. But, you know, you continue. You continue because it's not about you. It's about Jesus loving the person and loving answering the needs. So let's grow together as a family in confidence, in praying for the people around us. Okay? Now, remember when Peter said, what have I give to you in the name of Jesus, get up and walk? I think this, what have I give to you? It could be many things. It's not just healing. Let's not forget that. Like, for example, an incredible gift that Jesus gives that I think the world needs so much at the moment is peace.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Because
Amen.
Anxiety
yes.
is sky high rocket.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
You know? Depression is high.
Yes.
People who have no hope. So actually, peace, hope, joy, all the fruit of the Spirit, temperance, all of these things. You can pray that. Listen, when you speak to people, you say, I have peace, and that I know who has that, and I can give to you in Jesus. So I can pray for you for peace. Because I can pray, and the storm will come in your mind. So you could start by that as well. You know, all of us, we have tremendous testimony in areas of our lives. Sometimes they're different areas. Sometimes, you know, Jimmy and I were talking this week, and we were saying, oh my gosh, when we look at our lives and the stories we have of provision, supernatural provision of God, they're crazy. So for us, it's not very difficult to say, no, we're going to believe, oh, that's all right, God is going to do X, Y, Z. Mm. And, you know, we're going to be all right.
Mm.
Okay? But maybe that's not your situation. But maybe in your situation, you have an experience of another thing. That actually you've experienced that Jesus never let you down. And actually you have this firm belief that he's a rock. And actually he has been a constant in love. You can pray that for other people. You see what I'm saying? So what I do have, I give to you. That is why we were supposed to be in a community of believers. Because not everybody is gifted in all the areas. We were a community of believers for a purpose. What I have, I give to you. Okay? And it could be even, you know, think about something. The capacity to love your enemies. That's not something you can do in your own strength. But when you mature in Christ, it's easier to love somebody who's done your harm. It's easier. You know, you might put boundaries, but you might say, okay, no, that's fine. I forgive them. You know, I'm able to love them. Okay? Or I'm able to not hate them at least for first. And then I'm able to help. And then I'm able to bless them. You know? But we walk in, we grow in confidence in those things. And that is supernatural. We can't do by our strength. Okay? All right. So does it make sense?
Yes.
Does it make sense? Shall we just stay a little bit in this moment and just engage with Holy Spirit? Let's just bow our head and just engage with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. We just pray for compassion. Compassion and care for the others. For our neighbor. For our neighbors. Anybody that is around us or in proximity to us on a daily basis, Lord Jesus. I pray, Holy Spirit, just come and give us compassion and ability to see them the same way that Jesus did. That all people are created at the image of God. And they all loved by God. That he died for them too. Even in the most horrendous state they could be, Lord Jesus. Even in the most sinful state that people could be. Or even in the more hopeless state that they could be, Lord. You still care for them, Jesus. We pray for hearts that would love people unconditionally like Jesus. Unconditionally. Whether they even give their life to God one day or not, that we would love them unconditionally. Unconditionally, Lord. We pray that we would grow in our confidence in who we are in Christ. Aware that we cannot do it by our own strength. That we need you, Holy Spirit, and we need to know that we are in you, God, that we have a mandate from you to bring solution to the world, solution to the world that are spiritual, Jesus, spiritual solution for the world, Father God. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. We sang it. We're no longer slave to fear, but we are children of God. Children of God. Children of God. Wow. Father God, I just pray we would take serious decision with you that we're going to take the steps to start give away what we have. If we have a little, we start giving a little. But we expect to grow in confidence for the more because of who you are. Because at the end, it's not about what we have, what we don't have. It's not about our talent. It's about who you are in us, Christ Jesus. Wow. Wow. Jesus. Jesus. Whoa. Let's finish by something that maybe we don't do often. But could you grab someone next to you and just together pray for more the boldness of Holy Spirit? Just pray for blessing and boldness from the Holy Spirit. You don't have to do long prayer. Just say, my brother, I see you. My sister, I see you. I pray for boldness in the name of Jesus.
Can I just give a, before we do that, just give a very brief testimony of what happened to me last week. And it was, I was coming up to Woolwich Station, and I was just praying. I had £2 in my pocket. I don't normally have cash in my pocket. And I was sort of praying along these lines, because I'm not good at speaking to people. I don't like doing it. Anyway, I was coming out of the station, and I saw a guy there who was begging. He didn't need prayer, I didn't think, but he just needed a bit of money. So I went past, and I just put the two pound coins into his pot. And I almost apologised for giving so little. And he said, oh, no, I'm so pleased. I'm so, you know, it's so lovely that you did that. And, you know, and I got chatting to him. And I just said, oh, you know, what's your situation and all this? And he was, you know, really engaging. And I said, look, I'm a Christian. I'd like to pray for you. What shall I pray for you for? And he said, oh, I'd like, you know, I need some money to get a hostel there. So I started praying. And I said, oh, Lord, give him some provision. And as I prayed, another person came up and put quite a lot of money into his pot. And he stopped me and said, he's answered already. And I thought, well, yeah, he has. And then we got chatting again. He said, you didn't finish your prayer. Carry on, finish your prayer. So, you know, it's not quite, you know, but along the lines of, you know, if we just step out a little bit,
yes,
you know, God just hears us and you know, answers and blesses people, you know. So anyway.
That's good. All right, so let's be bold and practice our confidence, right? And let's grab someone and declare over them, you know, you are blessed. We just pray for Holy Spirit boldness in your life. Okay? Just take a step and...